Yes. Yeah. Got a light on.
Lights, camera, action.
Sir?
Lights, camera, action.
Okay. Yeah, I can even hear myself out there. Okay. I'm going to read. I guess we'll read the first couple of sub verses of 1 John chapter 4. And might take a little detour here. Anyway, chase a rabbit, so to speak. It says in chapter 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Just reading those two verses, you know, I have a lot of thoughts on this. You know, well, first off, let me just read to you Matthew chapter 24, verse 5 for a second. Jesus is speaking. He says, For many shall come in my name, right? My name. In the name of Jesus. Many shall come in the name of Jesus, saying, I am Christ. Now, I don't think when he said that, he meant that they're saying they're Christ, but he's saying, I'm Christ. He didn't say, many shall come in my name saying they are Christ. He says, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, later on, it talks about, in a later verse, there shall be false Christ, later in that chapter. But if you notice, before that, He says, shall deceive many, and you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and they shall, and you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So that's kind of a thing that's going on before the end times even come around. So many are going to come in my name saying, I am Christ. So here in our verse, he says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So, when he says, you know, when he says try the spirits, does he mean spirits of devils as opposed to the Spirit of God? Well, perhaps, but there's only one Holy Spirit, only one Spirit of truth, right? In that sense, but our text says every spirit as more than one. And notice in the next verse, it says, what does it say in there? But hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit, not the spirit, but every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So there's many spirits that might confess. So what does it mean by that? Does it mean, is anybody any thoughts? I'll read to you what Gill and them said, okay, and some others. We know that man has a spirit, and a born-again man is led by the Holy Spirit, isn't he? And so many men's spirits may confess the truth. The pulpit commentary says the spirits are principles and tendencies in religion. These need to be tested, for the earnest and fervor are no guarantee of truth. And to test these principles is the duty of the individual Christian as well as the church in its official capacity. I read that in the pulpit commentary. Now, Gill says, by every spirit, he means either every doctrine, okay, that is presented to come from the Spirit of God. In other words, this is what the Spirit of God reveals, and how do we, and that's supposed to be like a spirit, so how do you test that? We need to examine. How do we test that spirit? He says, pretend to come from the Spirit of God, or every teacher who professes to be qualified and sent by Him, and to have His light, knowledge, and doctrine from Him. Every true minister of the gospel has a spirit, true minister of the gospel has a spirit, right? And the gifts of the Spirit, more or less, to qualify him for his work. He is separated and called to it by him, and receives his spiritual light by fine knowledge from him. It is he that teaches him sound doctrine and leads him unto all truth, as it is in Jesus, and brings every necessary truth to his remembrance. So you see what he's saying here. So he says every spirit that confesses that Jesus is the Christ is of God. So it's not like there's multiple Holy Spirits out there, is what I'm getting at, because there's only one Spirit of truth. Does that kind of make sense? Okay. But he says here, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, how do we try the spirits? Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, the word try was translated 10 times prove, try 4 times, approve, discern, etc. So the lexicon said to test, examine, prove, scrutinize. So when somebody says something and says, this is of God, really? Better test it, huh? Better test it. And there are a lot of people out there saying they have received some kind of revelation from God, and God told them this, and God told them that, and all that, you know. Now, I have another thought on the way here.
Most of the time, you can discount somebody who says they got something directly from God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because 90% of the time, the reason they say they got it directly from God is it contradicts God's word.
Amen. I agree with you 1,000%. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but every one of these people that say they have a direct revelation from God, I don't know of any that do not deny the eternal security of the believer.
Right.
They all believe you can lose your salvation. Why is that? Because they do not believe that Jesus Christ made full propitiation for your sin, for our sins. They all believe. That's one thing that they seem to all agree on. That one heresy. And so I was thinking on the way here, if we say that Jesus is the Christ, what does that mean? That means, it didn't say in here, deny his deity. I thought that's what this was aiming at mainly. But it never did say deny that Jesus is God, although he is God. The Catholic Church does not deny that Jesus is God. Holy Mary, Mother of God. I knew that by heart from my youth up. Mother of God. Now, we need to understand that Mary's not the Mother of God in the sense that if she's the Mother of His deity. She's the Mother of His humanity. But Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. But what is it? Yes, absolutely. But what does it mean that he's the Christ? It means he's the Messiah, right? And all that was prophesied about the Messiah in the Old Testament, that he made propitiation for our sins. And they all really deny that. They'll say he died for our sins, so to speak, but they all deny that he made satisfaction completely for the sins of his people.
Amen.
And so, to me, they deny he's really the Christ. The Christ of the Bible. They say he's Christ. They say I am Christ. Jesus said, they say I am Christ, but they deny him. Really? They actually deny that he's the Christ, if you ask me. That's my personal opinion. So.
And most of them believe that you got to take that first step before he'll bring you to salvation.
Yeah.
They don't believe irresistible grace.
Yeah.
They don't believe that.
Now, if he's God, manifest in the flesh, you think he might have all power? All power is given unto me, right? Thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Wasn't that what his prayer was? Now, that's the Lord's Prayer, chapter 17.
I just thought of something also. They don't believe he made full atonement.
Yeah. Actually, they deny penal substitution, actually, is what they're denying.
Are you going to be baptized? Are you got to, if you lose it by in
Any number of means. Right. I mean, come on.
So we need to try the spirits.
That's right. So, anyway, so we must examine teachings. That's what I'm going to just read some of my notes here. We must examine teachings that men have as to whether it is the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. And we do it by the scriptures. This is our only method that we have. Now, back in the apostles' day, it was different. But right now, this is the only method that we have is the scriptures. And I want to get into that in a little bit concerning the charismatic movement. So I'm going to take a detour. I've been wanting to do this, a study on the charismatic movement anyhow. So this is probably a good opportunity to do it. But I want to get a little further along here, okay? Anyway, so Gill says to try the spirits, but by the word of God, which is the standard of all doctrine. And whatever agrees with that is to be received. And what does not should be rejected. So what does not agree with this is to be rejected. What agrees with this is to be received. That makes perfect sense, okay? Now, many determine truth and error by some leader who has claimed to have the power to speak for God or dogma set up by men of their church. I'll give you a perfect example. I have tried to witness to certain people, my own relatives, okay, about what the Bible says, and it's always, but the church says this. But this was set up at some council hundreds of years later. But the Pope says this.
And he changes his mind.
He changes his mind. And some of these things were set up pretty recent. The Immaculate Conception was pretty recent. Does anybody know what the Immaculate Conception is? I used to think, okay, go ahead, Brother Ted.
It's that Mary was also conceived as a virgin. That her mother was a virgin. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that she was conceived without sin. See, I used to think, well, the Immaculate Conception was that Jesus was conceived without sin. I mean, I thought that even when I was a Catholic, but then I learned later on that Mary was conceived without sin and remained sinless her entire life. I can't remember which one it is, but that she was ascended up into heaven too.
So,
I mean, she is, boy, she's just like Jesus, huh?
Man, be like God in the flesh almost.
Yeah, she's.
If all that was true, then there is a second Christ.
Well, she mediates between you and Christ. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You see what I'm getting at? So.
And so all have not sinned.
That's right. That's right. Mary and Jesus, both, neither one of them sinned. This is serious. Yeah. And so that's a doctrine that was added fairly recently. I would say within the last 200 years. I can't remember exactly when it was added, but it was added by Brother Neil. You wanted to say something?
I think one of the other important things is these false religions and the charismatics, they take one scripture out of the Bible or a small group of scriptures out of the Bible and use that to set up their entire dogma.
Mm-hmm.
I give you, for instance, 1 Peter 5:2, where the pastor is not supposed to be after filthy Lutheran. Well, the primitive Baptist took that out of context and said that no preacher should ever be paid. But you got to go, there's other verses that said a man's worthy of his hire.
Right. And don't muzzle the ox. Right. That plowed the...
that's where... And they also use a lot of 1 Peter 5 for the humility for the feet washing. That's their dogma of feet washing is so that the people stay humble so that they don't raise themselves above Christ.
Well... I tell you what, washing your feet would humble me. You ought to see my feet.
But they considered that an ordinance of the church.
Yeah, they considered an ordinance.
Yeah.
Right, and it's not an ordinance, yeah.
We're going to talk about that preaching today.
You what?
We're going to talk about that preaching today.
About that what?
Ordinances.
Ordinance? Oh, in your sermon.
So
God already knew all that, so that's why he's got all this coming up, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, but anyway, so, you know, like I was saying, you know, churches determine dogma, you know, some council or whatever. And then in the charismatic movement, you know, they have revelations from God, and God said, told me this. And, you know, I've mentioned this in the past where one preacher was on the radio or TV. No, I think he was on TV, and he was explaining what he saw in heaven, how Jesus brought him to heaven and showed him the streets of gold and told him this and told him that and told him all this stuff, you know, about what heaven was like. You know, and I read where Paul said when he was taken up to the third heaven, he couldn't speak of these things. It was not lawful. And yet this guy is speaking about all this stuff, and he's adding to what Revelation has already told us. You know, so anyway, so that's a dangerous thing, okay? Okay, the problem I see with the Pope saying something or some council saying something, the problem with this is that when the book of Revelation was completed by the same apostle that's writing this epistle, then there is no longer that which is important. That's what I'm going to get to in a minute. There are no apostles or prophets in the sense of receiving revelation from God. Now, I understand that we might speak as prophets only in the sense that we might be revealing, trying to explain, trying to reveal what's in the Word. But we're not prophets in the sense that we receive something from God that He told us, and in the sense of foretelling any future event.
Or contradictory or expanding on.
Expand, yes.
Adding to.
The
Bible's the finished work of
right.
God.
And in the book of Revelation, we're going to probably get to it. If any man add to or take away from the words of this prophecy, God's going to add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And I think that includes this whole book. Not just the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the last book. If any man adds unto this and adds a next book or adds, you know, when God told Benny Hinn this and that, why don't he just write it down and add it? I mean, it's the Word of God, isn't it? Isn't it the Word of God? He says it's the Word of God. Why don't you add it in here? Well, they're not that brave, though, are they?
Well, and the whole thing is that's another look at their inability to accept God as the omnipotent God, because when he said that in Revelation, he had told us everything he wanted us to have until the second coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he finished the word, that was what he wanted us to have till second coming.
Absolutely. Let me just read, and I got this, okay. I'm going to go through this. I thought about making notes on it all. I said, well, you know, I just went through and highlighted what I might go through. But I'm going to get to it in a little bit. We'll never finish this today, okay?
We're
but,
not in a race.
Huh?
We're not in a race.
We're not in a hurry. It says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be partly?
No.
Perfect. Thoroughly furnished. Not partially. You know, not partially furnished, and yet we'll need some prophet over here to add a little bit to it?
Right.
No. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is enough. This is enough for him, it's enough for me, and it's enough for all of us right here to be thoroughly furnished. Wouldn't you say? I think so.
And we can't take all this in. It's okay.
Look, after 40 years, you'll never understand all this.
Right. You know?
So, you know, it just shows you we need to read this more and quit listening to those false prophets. That's for sure. I don't listen to them no more anyhow. Well, you know what? When the Lord first saved me, I listened to a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I actually thought that the tongues movement was probably legit for a little bit. Okay. I did. In fact, I was going to Greenville Springs at the time, and a guy there, he was I can't remember what he was. I don't know. He was into the Bible a pretty good bit, and he was eager and energetic. You know, and he said, "Well, the tongues ceased when the Bible was completed." And I looked at him and said, "Well, where do you get that from?" And he couldn't give me an answer. Let me ask you something. Everybody here probably believes that tongues cease when the Bible is completed, right? Can you prove it? Can you take the scriptures and absolutely prove it? That's exactly right. And you know where I learned that from? From your dad. When I first came over here, his dad, Brother Wayne Camp, went through a study on the charismatic movement. And he tore it apart. He exposed the heresy of it. And I want to go through that, some of that again. In fact, I did an article on it several years back to try to explain to some young girl that was mixed up in the charismatic movement. And that was the whole purpose I wrote it, you know. And so, but most of that is based on what his dad taught us. He taught us that here. And we're going to go through it and examine it piece by piece, okay? Before we do that, we'll probably get started on it just a little bit, okay? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting out of breath. I already said that. When the scripture is complete, we have all we need, right? So we should be like the Bereans who searched the scriptures daily to see if those things that were spoken of were so. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. You remember that? I think even Paul was, you know, preaching to the Bereans, and they were searching. I mean, well, it's Paul, so we'll just believe him. No, they searched the scriptures to see if what he was saying was so. I think it was Paul, wasn't it? If I remember right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good thing, right? And we are to try them that say this and that. We find that many are liars when we try them according to the scriptures, don't we? You know, listen to them. They're liars. They're liars. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of them out there. Remember, was it Paul said that, you know, they appear as ministers of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
They appear as ministers of Christ, you know, but they're not. Just like the Pharisees. You know, white at sepulchres, but inwardly full of dead man's bones. Kind of reminded me of all them ladies that were dressed in white the other night. Another detour. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But they all dressed in white, and they all were from aborting babies, right? That's pretty sad. White at sepulchres. They revealed their black heart in and yet they're dressed in white. I don't mean to get sidetracked, but anyway.
Amen.
For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. We already read that. Okay? Hey, 2 Peter. Oh, notice he said false prophets here. He didn't say false teachers. He said false prophets. I think probably because when he wrote this, yes, and that's exactly right. And also when he wrote this, the gifts probably were still in existence, I'm thinking, you know, is what I thought. And Peter said, for many deceivers are... I'm sorry, no, I'm not Peter. Yeah, Peter. 2 Peter, first one. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers. Notice that, false prophets and shall be false teachers. Our day, them guys ain't prophets. Okay. If they say they're prophets, they're false prophets. All right? But we don't have any prophets in that sense. But we have teachers, and some are false teachers. Plenty of false teachers. That's exactly right. Among you who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And of course, Peter's writing to Jews, and I think he's talking about the ones that bought the Lord that, and the word law, and we've talked about that in the past. I ain't going to get sidetracked on that. Okay, so there are no prophets in our day in the sense of receiving direct revelation from God. The only sense that we can call ourselves prophets is to reveal or to bring to light what God has already declared in His Word.
That's right, preach the truth. And if you want to call us a prophet in that sense, that's fine, okay? But can we prove that? I think we can. And so an exposition of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 especially, I think, is in order here, okay? So anyway, I think we're going to try to do that. And before I get to any of this, let's go read some of that, okay? In fact, I think our kind of expound on it a little bit as best I can from just memory, and then go through some of this. But if you back up in chapter 12, it says here, where should I start? I don't even know. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry. Back up to verse 1. Okay. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, that you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And I think the idea was there that someone in the Corinthian church spoke in tongues, okay? No one understood, but someone understood that language. And he was actually cursing God. And so that's not the Spirit of God. So Paul is saying, no one speaking by the Spirit of God is going to call Jesus accursed in some language, even if he didn't know the language. You know, I don't think a person that was speaking in tongues in the church is going to actually say that out loud, well, Jesus is accursed. No, I don't think that's the idea. I think the idea is that the Spirit of God is not going to lead someone to speak in a tongue and call Jesus accursed. I remember reading a while back in it was a book I had on by some guy. He was a Baptist, and he wrote a good book on the tongues movement. But I think he said that some guy was speaking in tongues, and it was actually a language that someone came in and knew. And he was just saying foul stuff, but nobody there knew it. They were all impressed. You see what I'm saying? So that's the danger of that. If you don't, okay. No wonder Paul said it needs to be interpreted, right?
Right, and that's one of the biggest problems with most of the tongues movement of today is they speak in a tongue and there's no one there to interpret it.
Yeah.
And even when tongues were a gift in the Bible, it said don't speak in a tongue unless there's an interpreter.
Right.
And no more than two or three
And not at the same time, in succession, right. And your dad pointed that out. And yet in these charismatic church, everybody's rattling away, right? And I also read that linguists, people that know languages, have examined what they're saying, and they say it's no language at all.
Gibberish.
It's gibberish. It's just gibberish. And there's no structure of a language to it. You know, I might hear French, but I don't know anything about it, but I can tell that's a language. I can hear Spanish. I can listen to that and understand that that's a language. And it's conveying a message whether I understand it or not. But from what I read, the tongues movement, what they're saying is no language at all. And they're, you know, linguists who know languages have examined it, and I got some documentation on it in here. Okay, I'll read to what they said eventually. Okay.
And a lot of times it's just the same key word repeated
over and over. Yeah. It's just gibberish. That's not the Holy Spirit. And so we need to find out what the word tongues means and all that, and we're going to go there. Okay. Anyway. And that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost in verse 3. He says, now there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives out different diversities. What's diversities mean? Different gifts. Now, but we all have the fruit of the Spirit, but he's talking about these special gifts.
Okay, he's going to elaborate here. But there are diversities of the gifts, okay? In other words, different gifts are given out to different people, but it's the same Holy Spirit that gives out these gifts, okay? Notice that. He said, now there are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now here you go. For to one is given by the same Spirit the word of wisdom. Now don't we all have the word of wisdom? Well, that's not what this means. Okay? The word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So what does that mean, the word of knowledge? We're going to examine that. But do you remember when Ananias and Sapphira lied to Peter? He said, thou hast not lied to men, but thou hast lied to the Holy Spirit. Now, if somebody came into this church, I could not know whether they're lying or not, you know, especially if they're a good hypocrite. But Peter received the word of knowledge. He received knowledge directly from God that these people are lying. You see what I'm getting at? So for one, the word of knowledge. He received the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now we all have faith, but as we'll see here later, if a man have faith so that he can remove mountains. So this is talking about an extraordinary faith, I think. Okay, we all have the faith to trust in Jesus Christ, or we're not saved. But he says to one, faith. To another, the gifts. Okay, yeah. Where am I at? To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So here we go, back when all these gifts were in existence. Paul is writing when all these gifts are still in existence, because he's writing at a time when the book of Revelation didn't even come close to being penned yet. He's still writing epistles, right? I'm not sure if I remember when Corinthians was written, but it was probably written before some of these others. I don't know the exact order. If anybody does, speak up. Okay? But for sure, the book of Revelation hadn't been penned. Okay? That's for sure. All right? To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Ah, see, so they all didn't have prophecy. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. Or the word divers is actually supplied there. It just means different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. So one person might have the gift of tongues. Another person might have the gift to interpret that tongue. Okay? And what is a tongue? Languages. We'll find out. Tongue don't mean this thing wiggling and making noise. Okay, it does not mean this thing in your mouth making noise, okay? It's, we speak in the English tongue, okay? That ought to be explained. He says here, but all these work at that one and safe self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as they want. Mm-mm. Nope, as he will. You know, and these guys will say that everybody can speak in tongues.
As he will.
As he will, that's right. He's sovereign over the disposal of these gifts. And we're going to cover that too, okay?
So if I busted out speaking in Japanese after a while, there'd be an interpreter out here, nobody else would.
It should be, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
Or unless you're the interpreter, I don't know.
But it also says that you can't interpret your own speaking.
There you go. Because he could be lying, huh?
Right. Here's what I just told y'all.
Yeah.
That's what those charismatics do. They rattle off a bunch of stuff, and here's what I just said.
Absolutely. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. See, I'm mistakenly said unless you interpret it. No, you're right. He's right. He can't interpret it. You better interpret it, or somebody else that knows Japanese, huh? Brother Ted, you want to say something?
So, one thing I've heard about the speaking in tongues is that with the charismatics, it's a confusion. It's
yeah.
Confusion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you read and think about churches that everybody stands up and prays? Not necessarily in different languages, but everybody stands and prays.
That's confusion too, isn't it?
I'm asking.
I think it is. To me, I mean, it just like sounds like what's going on here, you know? I get a little spooky when you know, and I used to do this as a Catholic. You go to one of these funerals, and everybody's going, you know, reciting something and repeating what some priest said, you know, whatever, and they repeat and over and over. I said, man, what is that? You know, it's like, I see it now.
Didn't Jesus say don't use vain repetition?
Yeah, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Yeah.
Oh. A lot of people want to say that's only for prayer, but I think it's for any. I think a song that just repeats the same four or five words 100 times is vain repetition.
That you probably.
There's no meaning to it.
After
about the first 10 times, it's just saying stuff to be saying.
Yeah.
As far as written. Says the first New Testament book was written in 49, and the last, well, and so Peter and Paul were martyred in 64, and
Book of Revelation, 96 AD, wasn't it?
Yeah, 96.
Somewhere in there, yeah. So it's a long time before the Book of Revelation was penned. Yeah, good point.
I understand that men got together and canonized the Scripture.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
But these men knew who was writing these things. They didn't just take Thomas or somebody out of the blue and say, oh, this guy wrote something nice, let's put it in there.
Just put it in there.
They took people who had seen Christ, who had been, he was like, well, Mark wasn't there, but Mark grew up and saw Christ.
Yeah, he saw, he was with Christ. Yeah.
With Christ.
Yeah.
So these folks that actually wrote these, the books that were canonized,
yeah,
were canonized by people who actually Saul was with him, and so
some. Well, Luke was just.
They took in a group, made sure there was agreement with the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that none of the books. There's some books that probably are very well could have been in the canonization that weren't because they did not directly quote
Old Testament. Yeah. Okay.
And that's one reason we don't use the Catholic Bible, because we have the Maccabees.
You're right. Yeah.
And wisdom and some other proper books.
There's a man I just came across just recently. He wrote a good article on which Bible is the, you know. In fact, I sent it to you guys. You ought to go read it. You know, I didn't read all of it, but I thought it was a good explanation why the Catholic Bible and what you're talking about here. Okay. Wow, whew, I cannot believe time is almost gone already. And I ain't even got to reading chapter 13. I really wanted to expound on that a little bit. But
We are not in a hurry.
Well, let's read a little more of this anyhow. For as the body, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And you think about the church too here. Church is a body. Has many members, right? But one member is not more important than another member. You know? I'll give you a perfect example here before I read the rest of this. See my finger here? It's short. I cut the end of it off back in, I don't know, when I was 17 or 18. You know what? After 40 something, I still miss it. I miss the heck. And this is my left hand. I still miss it. You know, I've had to work on things and kind of,
right.
You know, it I have to adjust on working on things. And, you know, through my whole career of being a computer technician, back in the beginning, we worked, did a lot of mechanic stuff too, you know. And so it's kind of been of a hindrance. So I miss that little thing there, you know. If I didn't have my fingernail, I'd miss it.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, my point. And he covers that, I think, here. For as one body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body be many, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Now I know there are many interpretations of that. We won't get sidetracked on that right now. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Right? Now he's comparing the body, the church, I think, here, to a human body, right? For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, yeah, sure it is, right? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, yeah, it sure is. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? Everybody in the church can't have the same functions and same gifts and same abilities. Okay? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him.
Him,
right. Not as it has pleased us. Right?
That's why when you find somebody who tries to compete for a position in the church, generally you'll find, if you start looking at them, they are not a mature Christian, because I don't want to say they aren't saved, but a lot of times they aren't saved, because the only reason they would compete for something that somebody else is already filling is lack of humility, but also they don't understand the importance of sitting in the pew and learning the Bible.
You're absolutely right. But it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where would body? In other words, if everybody was an eye or whatever, that'd be a monstrosity. That's right. Okay. But now are there many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. They're absolutely necessary. If it's all you do is come here and learn and go out there and witness to others, you're necessary.
Amen.
You're absolutely necessary, okay? And those members of the body, I'm past time, but maybe we can get to the end of this chapter. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor.
Right.
And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. This is good stuff here, really. Just reading it, it tells you, you know. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, but it's still one body, right? And God has said some in the church, here you go, church. He says church, the body, right? First apostles. Now this is back when Paul's writing this, because keep it in mind, when the gifts are all in existence, he's writing this. So God has set some of the church first apostles, secondarily prophets. So here you have the order, and I think maybe the importance of it, I guess, I don't know. First apostles, he says first apostles. There were 12 apostles, you know, etc.
They're dead.
And they're dead, they're all dead.
I think it's chronological order.
That's true too, huh? So he's not saying
this is the
chronological.
Thank you. First said the apostles, then the prophets, then the teachers.
Then the teachers, okay. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He does mention diversities of tongues last, doesn't he? Whatever that's worth. Are all apostles? This is what you call a rhetorical question. Okay? You know what that means, huh? In other words, it requires no answer. It's a question that is obvious. It'd be like saying, is everybody the President of the United States? Well, yeah. No. I mean, come on. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. I mean, he just covered all this. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? And I read that to a charismatic guy, and he said, yep. I am dead serious. He worked for Burroughs at the time, and me and Jerry Woolworth were trying to witness to him about this. And when I read that, he said, yes.
And they believe it's more important to speak than do a miracle or to preach or to heal or anything. This speaking is the most important thing on their mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, we are 5 minutes over. I am apologizing, and you know, Brother Charlie can just preach 5 minutes longer, okay?
No. Every minute you go over, I get five.
Okay, then 25 minutes, okay, whatever. Okay, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, 1,000 times no. But covet earnestly the best gifts, because they're all in existence when he's writing this, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way than all of this. And that's what we're going to get to in chapter 13. And I apologize for going this long, but anyway, I think it's necessary that we go through it again.
Well, I'm glad you didn't get